This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Well, hey there, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you. It is Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester, and we are glad to be with you this morning here on KFH. Thanks for tuning in. Over the air, 97.5, 1240 AM, over our video streams on Facebook, YouTube, X, where you can leave your comments. Thanks for watching us also on 12 News Connected, and thanks for listening to us on the Odyssey app. Whichever way you take us in, we got lots of opportunities for you to win prizes today. Lots of opportunities. We've got concert tickets. We've got Wind Surge tickets. We've got HTO to give away. So keep the phones handy. Some of them are call-in. Some of them are text-in. But you'll have your chances to win as we get into what should be a pretty fun show today. We're getting NFL scheduling nuggets. Many of them include the Kansas City Chiefs. So we will have the latest there. The Royals offense wakes up last night in Houston. Maybe a sign of things to come. We'll dig in a little bit as they bounce back with a nice win in that series opener. Other headlines, major, massive potential injury in the NBA playoffs last night to dig through. And all sorts of good stuff. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Hey, happy Tuesday. You went through a laundry list of things that we're going to get into today. Also, all the different prizes we've got to give away. There's so much happening on the show. I'm looking forward to getting right into it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. The Dallas Mavericks win the draft lottery, and now we decide to see if they'll trade it. Last night I joked maybe they'll trade it for, you know, Draymond Green, or who knows what the Mavericks will do. What an interesting turn of events there, as trading Luka Doncic could potentially land them Cooper Flag. Is Nico somewhere seeing, see, I told you so. See, like I told you, this is going to all work out.
Yeah. I think that definitely he's the kind of character that is going to be like feeling kind of gloaty today about this. Like, this was my plan all along, is I wanted the number one overall pick and I wanted Cooper Flag. And, you know, then of course, you know, go back a couple weeks or last week, whenever it was, when JJ Redick was criticizing the conditioning of Doncic and all of that. It's like, I'm sure Nico Harrison feels a little validated today.
I bet so, even though of course have nothing to do with winning the draft lottery, which is which I can imagine in all of this was not their plan. If the Mavericks' plan was to lose a bunch so they could move the team to Vegas, these new owners are pissed today. They're like, you gotta be kidding.
We didn't want the like, number one overall pick. What are you doing?
We finally clear getting rid of Luka so that we can lose a bunch of games. And now we got to take. Who knows? Who knows? We'll see how this all works out. All right. We've got, I mean, there's a whole bunch to get to. We'll do it all. We're going to start you because we have a bunch of them with a giveaway this morning. We'll kind of switch up the order from what we did yesterday. So let's do Wind Surge tickets right off the top here because it's baseball season. It's baseball weather, right? If you want to win some Wind Surge tickets, you can right now text the keyword TOWEL, T-O-W-E-L, to the short code 20357. That's for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Wind Surge take on the Travelers this Saturday, 4:05 first pitch. It's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Night, and there will be commemorative towels to the first 2,000 fans. You can enter this contest once per day. Standard message and data rates apply. Again, it's TOWEL to 20357. Good luck, everybody. That is one of many giveaways we will have on the show for you today. Tommy, we get scheduling nuggets in the NFL, which is always fun. The Chiefs are a part of that, and we're gonna dig into that here in the next segment a little bit, and we'll have Felix Johnson too, I should mention, in the second hour to talk a little NFL, talk a little Chiefs, talk the schedule. You know, it's not officially released until late this week, but they have like scheduled small information drops, I guess, throughout the week. One of those, the one yesterday, was more of reporting than it was like a scheduled NFL announcement about the opener in Brazil. But that's all happening today as well. But it does kind of get the juices flowing for a little football. I've kind of been, leave it to the NFL, Tommy. Like, they get us excited about a schedule release. Like, come on. They do, though. They do it. And now all the teams make their fun videos and they just like everything they do turns to gold.
How do you feel, by the way, about the opening game for the Chiefs being in Brazil? Are you a fan of that? Does that move the needle for you at all?
I'm more interested that they're playing it on a Friday than I am that it's in Brazil. I think the NFL is smart for expanding its footprint. I think that they don't lose a home game, so it won't really affect them in any way. And if you're going to make that kind of trip, making it in the first game of the season will be the easiest time to make it. So it moves the needle because they're playing on a Friday night to open the season. I don't know how I feel about that. I'll have to think about that a little bit. And I don't love it or hate it. It's just kind of there. There are things about it that I like, and there are things about it that I don't like. It's streaming only. Okay. But there's a lot. Like, that's the thing. Like, it's international. It's a streaming only. It's on a non-traditional night. It's a divisional rival game. Like, there's a lot to that bit of information coming down. And didn't we get the opener? It's like, it's in the Cowboys and somebody in the Thursday night game.
Yeah, Cowboys and Eagles are opening the series up together. So a divisional matchup on that opening kickoff night for the NFL.
Which is great. I mean, you know, like that's about as good. Like, if you were cherry picking games to, you know, to have, it's a pretty good one to start the year. That rivalry, right? Like, it doesn't get a whole lot better than that. It's like starting the year with Bears Packers or, you know, Chiefs Broncos or something when both teams are expected to be good, and both Cowboys and Eagles are. So we get little nuggets. We'll take you through the latest nuggets that we have in the next segment. The Royals wake up last night. They score a bunch of runs early, which was great. The bullpen was a little bit, one guy in the bullpen, I should say, was a little bit shakier than normal, which is, it, you know, the dam was going to break on him at some point. Hopefully that's an aberration with Cruz, but they got it done. They get the win. They open the series with the win, and that's good. And they do it, you know, because the offense bailed out the pitcher. That's what we got to see out of the Royals. So we'll get into all of that as we make our way through the show today. Felix Johnson's coming in. It feels like a fall show in the summertime. There's a lot there. We were texted last night. It's just like, all right, maybe there's Bill Belichick gossip news we need to get into, which,
man,
I have
that,
not been
that story is
closely.
So weird. That whole thing. I mean, but I love it. I love the drama and the gossip surrounding it. But it's
love
bizarre.
That. You hate Derek Carr quarterback conversations. I love Derek Carr quarterback conversations, and I hate Bill Belichick.
Oh my God. I would rather talk about Bill Belichick and his controlling girlfriend any day of the week over if Derek Carr is the ninth best quarterback of this era. Like, that doesn't move the needle for me at all.
Yeah, we're very different there, but that's good. That's what we do. I think everyone needs to leave the old man alone. I think he probably is very aware of what's happening in his life, and he's probably perfectly content with that. But we'll get into it. I my great colleague Rachel Hackbarth was filling me in on Travis Kelce's new haircut. If we're going down that road, it's a little
interesting.
Longer this
year. He's one step away from Jonathan Taylor Thomas and all of those 90s teen heartthrobs back in the day. It's like the middle part, and it's kind of floppy and
it's long.
It's a little different.
So we'll cover it all today. We've got your gossip news. We've got your sports news. It's all here for you on Sports Daily. Good luck in all our contests. We'll continue that thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee. We're keeping us fueled up and ready to go. When we come back, what we know about the NFL schedule. Some of it pertains to the Chiefs. We're getting bits and pieces. We'll dig through it. We'll return on Sports Daily.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster. We are coming to you all over the place, and all over the place you're going to have chances to win prizes. Let's do another one here, Tommy. Let's do one of our concerts. Let's do a caller contest here. So this will be for the Gone Fishing Tour at the Wave Outdoors. Kingfish and Samantha Fish. Sorry, this one's at the Cotillion. This one is at the Cotillion. My apologies. So the Gone Fishing Tour, Kingfish and Samantha Fish at the Cotillion. This will be next Thursday, May 22nd. It's a call-in contest. So let's get it right out of the way. Let's do first caller right now, 869-1240. Max has that for you. Good luck, everybody. Gone Fishing Tour, Kingfish, Samantha Fish at the Cotillion next Thursday, 869-1240. Max will get us a winner there. All right, Tommy, let's talk about this schedule in the NFL. So we get bits and pieces all over the place, really. We mentioned it, Eagles, Cowboys. Let's just start at the top. We'll get to the Chiefs games. We'll get to some of the other announcements, and they'll come in more today. But Cowboys, Eagles off the top. You can always count on the Super Bowl champion hosting. So then you sort of go through the schedule. I think if you were the NFL, this needed to either be Cowboys, Eagles or Cowboys, Commanders. Eagles, Cowboys or Eagles, Commanders. And I think those were the only two choices. It had to be one of those. So to pick Cowboys makes obvious sense because of the draw to television and everything the Cowboys bring.
I would have liked to potentially see maybe a team that is in the NFC, but not necessarily a divisional matchup. The only thing I don't love, and I get the appeal of Cowboys Eagles. Obviously, you've got the defending Super Bowl champions to kick off the season. You've got this rivalry between the two teams. So I get the appeal of all of it, but I would much rather have Cowboys Eagles both times later in the season. Because you're going to have playoff implications and all sure. of that with both of those matchups. So I wouldn't have minded seeing, I don't know, like Eagles Lions or Eagles 49ers or something like that, as opposed to a divisional matchup in week number one of the season when there are zero playoff implications. That's my only hesitation about it. But from just a flat out appeal standpoint, it's going to be great. I mean, I love the fact that they've got that rivalry. It just would have been great to see both of these matchups happen later on in the season.
It's interesting. Last year we started Chiefs Ravens. And in reality, that had probably more playoff implications sure. than a divisional rival game. Sure. So I think if you're really trying to limit it early, you probably have to go to one of your cross conference games, even like who are the Eagles playing in the AFC? That's good, maybe to avoid that. But I mean, when you only have 16, 17 games, I think you just kind of have to. I don't know. I could see good and bad from both. I do think, though, to start it there with that one in particular, with the draw that the Cowboys bring to the table, especially now new head coach, Dak is healthy again. You know, they make the trade for George Payton. The Cowboys have a little bit of buzz here. I think this will be very juicy. Now, we don't need to like predict a winner in that game. I want to know like what's happening with the tush push. I think the Eagles are a really interesting team this year. They actually had to replace some parts, and they were so good all across the field last year. I don't look. I'm a Cowboys fan. I think people know that, and I'm very pessimistic about the Cowboys in general and their chances. But they're way better than they're getting credit for. Dak was hurt all year. Dak is not. You want to talk about quarterback conversations on Sports Talk Radio? Dak is the biggest conversation guy there is. Because he's good. Like, he's really good quarterback. Is he good enough in this circumstance with this team? And that, like, I don't know. He hasn't been, but the dude is a good quarterback. So you get good quarterback play in the opener, which I think is absolutely critical. You get the drama of the rivalry. You get the drama that always comes with the Cowboys. Like, all of it together. I think it's a pretty solid selection for the NFL. and one that we'll be excited about it. Like, we'll be pretty fired up for that one.
Yeah, if you take a look at the Eagles' opponents in 2025, they play the AFC West this year, but their two home games against AFC West opponents are Raiders and Broncos. Neither really, like, none of those really move the needle for me, but they do play the Lions at home, and that would have been something that I would have loved watching.
That would have been a good one.
Eagles, yeah. Lions in Philadelphia to kick off the regular season. That would have been phenomenal, I think, to watch. And that would have been maybe the only other option, as far as, you know, outside of the division, that I feel like they probably could have done that one. And that one would have maybe been just as exciting for larger reasons than just the rivalry and divisional matchup between the Eagles and Cowboys.
Yeah, I think that getting Commanders and Jaden Daniels in there would have been also, they had a lot of good options. And their division, I mean, it speaks to that division will probably be pretty entertaining this year. The division that never sends repeat champions, right? Can the Eagles do this thing? It's a good opener. Either way, it's good opener. Is it perfect?
Yeah, their home opponents this season: Bears, Broncos, Commanders, Cowboys, Giants, Lions, Raiders, and Rams. So for me, I mean, I understand
Rams
the appeal.
Okay.
I understand the appeal of Cowboys and Commanders, the division, the rivalry, all of that. Giants are irrelevant. Raiders, nah. Broncos, nah. Really, it's Bears, Lions, Rams, and those probably would have been the three outside of the division that, you know, I would have looked at, with the Lions being at the top, and then probably the Rams and the Bears, you know, two and three after that.
If I'm a TV executive, they got it right. Like, that's the one I would want if I was, you know, NBC. And then probably Lions, Commanders, Rams, Bears. Yeah, I mean, that would have been it for me. They just don't play a good AFC schedule. Okay, so then the Chiefs are a part of one of the other bits of information we get yesterday, and that is that they'll play not on opening night, but on the Friday night for the first time. They're going to Brazil, and they'll play the Chargers, which is good, which is a really interesting nugget that it's in Brazil. It's another rivalry game with big playoff implications. It will be played overseas. That what's interesting about it is I don't think it was set in stone. Like, the Chargers could have chosen to not play the Chiefs over there. They had some say in, like, blocking what they do, and they chose not to do that.
What does that tell you? What does that tell you about the Chargers?
There's strategy there. Right, there's a bit of strategy. If you're going to get the Chiefs, if you're the Chargers, would you rather have the Chiefs in Brazil or would you rather have the Chiefs in LA? It's interesting. I mean, that's the one you've got circled, obviously. I don't know where the better place to play them is. Probably making them travel internationally and do all those things. And here's the other interesting thing about it: knowing that you get them in week one instead of week whatever, 10, whatever it would be. I don't know what week it would be. That's where I think there's some strategy here that's probably smart for the Chargers, because if I know what the Chiefs were bad at last year and I know what they did in the offseason, I'd rather catch them early than late when they sort of catch their stride on the offensive line. You know, like, if I'm going to take my shot at them, I'd want it when all these new pieces have to sort of get settled in.
Well, here's what it tells me. It tells me that the Chargers don't feel like they have any kind of home field advantage in SoFi Stadium, right? Like, that's what it tells me, that they would rather have the Chiefs travel internationally than to have the Chiefs go to SoFi and play the Chargers on the road when you've got, I mean, what, at least half, if not more, of the crowd rocking Chiefs gear in that game. I mean, that's kind of the way that it's been ever since the Chargers moved from San Diego to LA. So, I mean, to me, it feels like they're thinking, you know what, it's going to be better for us strategically to make the Chiefs travel internationally to kick off the regular season. But on top of that, we almost feel like that's better for us than having the Chiefs come to LA, where we get zero kind of home field advantage with the crowd, with anything inside of our home stadium. So whether or not that was actually the reason, who knows? But that was the first thing I thought of. Like, okay, yeah, the Chargers, they don't feel super confident about their home field advantage potential, and they probably never have felt that way since they moved to LA.
Yeah, I think I think there's probably truth in all of it. And like in the NFL, like this stuff is real. Like this stuff matters. You're thinking about this stuff. Who did the Chiefs play? Was it last year? Was it the Bears? Didn't they play the Bears in recent years overseas or something? And or whatever it was, like there was good reporting on like all the strategy involved with like who to pick, which home game do you want to lose? Like who do you want to have to take? Maybe it was the Dolphins that were involved in this and not the Chiefs. But like either way, like, yeah, you got to think about that stuff. And again, like probably both things are true. I would rather catch the Chiefs early this year than late. And yeah, I don't feel like that's a true home field advantage. Like if I played, you know, the Broncos out there, the Chargers face that every week because they're kind of second fiddle in a market that doesn't really care about them. And they're trying to change that, but they're going to have that issue every week. They're going to see a lot of road fans that want to come into that stadium and do that kind of thing. So we'll see. You know, I don't have a strong, just speaking of the Chargers, I'm kind of Charger agnostic. I don't really have a take on them yet. And I haven't started to dig in on everything yet this offseason. We like their coach. I like that they brought in a running back to his, you know, style of play. They're probably, because they're not, like the buzz has worn off a little bit, this will probably be the year they're really good. Like, you know, Harbaugh has the history of that. We're not really talking about him. This is probably their year. That's a tough draw for the Chiefs in the opener.
That's the best thing for Justin Herbert, is to have some of the attention off of his shoulders. There's been, you know, so much, I think, pressure and high expectations on him to perform and to kind of finally get the Chargers over that hump that they've never really been able to get over. And, you know, Herbert has been good individually. He's had good stats and all of that. But he's at this point still hasn't gotten them over the hump. And I think, and I know that we both felt this way when the Harbaugh hire happened, like, okay, like that's going to take a step forward for the Chargers. And I think we saw glimpses of that last year. The fact that they're flying under the radar this year a little bit more, to me shows that, you know, yeah, like these guys are continuing to work, continuing to get used to each other and the system that Jim Harbaugh is bringing into place. And I do think that they'll take a step forward this year. How far they go, I'm not willing to predict that yet. And honestly, the times that I've picked the Chargers in the past always come back to bite me. So I'm not willing to do that yet. But I do think they'll be better and improved than what they were a year ago.
I do too. I'm a Herbert guy, but Herbert's got to, he's got something to prove now. Like he needs that next evolution for him needs to happen. He had no more coaching excuses, like no more, none of that. Like you're in a position now where you need to be like going and winning a playoff game and doing some of these things that put you in that stratosphere where I think he should be based on his abilities. But we'll obviously have more on predictions and those sorts of things later. All right. So the other one that we know for the Chiefs is that they will play Christmas Day. So the Chiefs are trying to become the Christmas Day team. You know, the Cowboys have Thanksgiving. The Lions have Thanksgiving. Apparently the Chiefs want to do that for Christmas, which is interesting. I don't know that the players would agree with that, but the organization kind of wants to own Christmas Day, which is probably smart on them to do that. That's you know, there are certain advantages that come with the Lions and the Cowboys, just kind of knowing people can plan around it. You can do all that stuff. So they'll play the Broncos on the nightcap of the Christmas triple header. I like that too. That should be. Could be a meaningful game, but Christmas Day, Chiefs Broncos, I'm in. They're hosting it too, by the way. I'm in for that. I think that'll be fun.
Yeah, I actually really like it, and I've really enjoyed the last couple of years with the Chiefs playing on Christmas Day. For me, because I'm, you know, I'll be the first to admit I'm not an NBA guy, and I know the NBA traditionally has dominated Christmas Day, but I have a hard time getting locked into that. So usually, at least historically, I'm not watching a whole lot on Christmas Day. As soon as the Chiefs and the NFL, for that matter, got into the Christmas Day games, playoff, and you know they're basically in that world now. That's had me lock in a whole lot more. So I've really enjoyed watching the Chiefs play on Christmas Day the last couple of years, and I totally understand why the organization wants to get involved in that, you know, and try to do that every single year. So the fact that it's a divisional matchup against the Broncos, I'm good with. The fact that it's the nightcap to wrap up Christmas Day, I'm good with. I really like that, and I hope that they can continue that.
And Christmas is a Thursday this year, so it'll be a part of like Thursday Night Football for Prime Video. So it won't be anything out of the ordinary. It won't be a weird day of the week. the Friday is the weird day of the week. Well, let me come back to that in just a second. I think the one other game that is announced is Eagles-Bears, which will be a part of the Black Friday pairing of games, which would be November 28th. Black Friday games, fine. Like, I don't, you know, indifferent. At that point of the year, we're kind of through high school football, so I don't, it's fine.
I mean, you get some pretty decent college football games on Black Friday. A lot of times that's kind of the, correct me if I'm wrong, but usually one of the, if not the last conference game for college football.
I wish they'd bring it back. Texas and Texas A&M always played on that Friday.
Yeah.
I believe that's right, until they split. And that was always such a, like, you could really look forward to that. And then it kind of switched to Texas versus Texas Tech. I think they need to make that Texas versus Texas A&M sort of night again, because I do think there's the most animosity, no offense to any other rivalry anywhere. They're all amazing. I think there's the most animosity there, at least in all of college football.
I think Ohio State, Michigan would like to have a word with you on that.
I know. I'm not taking anything away, but it's the kind of, and some of those are too, like Texas A&M writes them into their official like school song, and like the history there, like there is genuine heat, and it's fun. It's a really cool thing. And I'd like it to get a spotlight like that again, now that they're in the same league. So that would be, but it's not, still not going to touch the NFL. Like if it's Texas A&M, and I think that rivalry is fun, and you're giving me an NFL option on Friday night, I mean, I'm watching the NFL, you know, no offense, Arch, but I'm watching the pro game there. Friday night though, I do want to go back to that for Chiefs Chargers real quick. Early in the season, the high school football season will have started. I don't love that. I don't love that they're playing that Friday night. I think it takes away from the Thursday night thing. I think it takes away from how much fun the opening Sunday of the NFL is. So I would say that I don't mind them playing in Brazil early, and I know it helps them on the back end with travel, but I don't love that they're playing on a Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you can definitely tell, and this is the way it's been for a long time, the NFL wanting to own as many dates as they possibly can in that season. And, you know, if that means it takes away from high school football, so be it. If it takes away from college football, so be it. NBA on Christmas Day, so be it. Like, that's the NFL. It's kind of like, I don't know if you ever played the board game Risk, but it's kind of like taking over the world, like one, you know, one little puzzle piece at a time. I feel like that's what the NFL, I mean, typically does, is they basically want to expand and dominate as much of the sports landscape as they possibly can. That's why the schedule release is now this huge thing, and it never really used to be up until a few years ago. And you've got all the teams getting involved in the social media accounts and all of that. Like, they want to own as much landscape, dominate the entire sports calendar as much as they can.
One quick question from Rick on YouTube. Says Amazon Prime on first game in Christmas. So stupid. Guess I won't be watching. It's not Amazon Prime on the first one. It is streaming, but it's YouTube TV, or YouTube, they're saying, which I assume is YouTube TV. So that one, you know, for a lot of people is probably a little easier to catch than Prime. Prime at this point now has a day of the week. So, you know, that shouldn't surprise us too much. Like, every Thursday night football game is there. YouTube TV, that's the NFL's biggest partner now through Sunday Ticket. So, you know, this will be the first one they've put there exclusively. But again, I don't think that should surprise us. What gets this, before we get into the Royals real quick, what makes it hard for those that I don't like, and I don't know how they do it, what does sports bars do here, right? Like, what is the NFL doing to that clientele? It's difficult. Like, those things are hard to manage and go through, but there probably aren't a lot of sports bars with YouTube TV, because they, you know, they have so many TVs, it's just easier to run cable through. So how do they now have to handle something like that?
Yeah, I do think, and I think I've read this one time, that I think the NFL has worked with a lot of these establishments for like blanket licensing and different things like that, to be able to show as many of these games as possible. But you're right, from a logistical standpoint, it does make it harder when you've got each individual TV that you've got to, you know, set it, you know, for a certain streaming service or whatever it is. My thing is that at this point, we're so far into streaming services with the NFL, and not just the NFL, but sports in general, and where all these different games are being found. You know, I'm done complaining about the platforms that these games are on. unless they're introducing new platforms. Like if it's, you know, this brand new thing that nobody has, yeah, at that point I'm going to be like, really, is that necessary? But like Prime Video at this point, we're like, what, 4 or 5 years in, I feel like, and to Prime Video. It's every week. I'm like, you know what? At this point, I'm done complaining about it. Either get on board or get off. Like I don't bother me.
That's not the one that bothers me. That doesn't bother me. A Netflix game doesn't bother me. What bothers me, and I won't get off, is when NBC only shows a
on
game
Peacock.
The Peacock.
And it's a playoff game. I had a problem with that too.
Even a regular season game, it pisses me off because we already pay for NBC. Like NBC, you get your game. People have to pay money to have the service to watch that. Don't then double dip. That's if Netflix wants to be in the football business, if Prime Video wants to be in the football business, that's okay. Like I'm okay with that. But if you're going to try to tell me you got to have like a Peacock only or Paramount only, which Paramount hasn't done this yet, which is CBS, or let's call it ESPN Plus only, like no. You don't get to double dip like that. That's BS to your viewers. That's the only part of that stuff that makes me mad is when they do that. New network, new services coming in. I don't have a problem with that. I understand that and I can live with that. But you don't get to double dip on that. That's ridiculous.
And I agree with you. I do have an issue with new platforms coming in because at this point, like most people have already paid for the top tier streaming services and everybody kind of knows who's got what. But when then you introduce a brand new platform, and I know, like, by the way, ESPN is getting ready to launch a brand new platform, a brand new direct-to-consumer platform. At that point, you make something exclusive and you make it like a next tier up that people have to buy, and it's something completely new that's not part of the normal rotation of streaming services. That's when I start to have an issue with it. At this point, yeah, you want to throw games on Netflix, got it. Like, Netflix has been around forever. Prime Video is every week. So like even a YouTube platform or YouTube TV, like, okay, I can understand that. That's in the top tier of streaming services. You want to throw out Paramount or Hulu or like whatever it is. Okay, cool. We can have that conversation, but it's like something brand new that nobody has. And you're going to force people to go and buy it to be able to watch a game. I do have an issue with that. And I agree with you that the Peacock like exclusive, we already pay for NBC. I'm not going to get a Peacock subscription if I don't want to watch other things on it. I do have an issue with that.
Yeah, we agree on that. I guess I understand when, and I'm sure there are not even really a lot of new networks. Netflix is the best example. Netflix is trying to get into the sports business. So, you know, them paying a bunch of money and doing all that, that one, I guess I'm a little more okay with. And I don't even know what another good example. ESPN would be double dipping if they try to do it. Prime was the big one. Apple TV. Okay, there's one. Apple TV. Let's say Apple TV says, you know what, we want a football game. It bugs me that they get baseball games because I don't have Apple TV. But if Apple TV wants to get into the sports business and the NFL sells them a package or a game or whatever, I can live with that, even as frustrating as it is that I don't have that one, or HBO Max, you know, whatever. Like that's better to me than, you know, Hulu, because we all already pay for ABC and ESPN, which is what. So that whatever, it's nuanced. But Rick, no, it is YouTube. It is not Amazon for that opener. Let's talk a little Royals here. Big winners, not big winners. Big offensive night, I should say. As they win it 7-5 over Houston. They score a lot of runs early. The top of the lineup looking good. Now we've got this weird thing. We were talking a little bit about this last night. We've probably paid more. Well, we have paid more attention to the struggles of Vinny Pasquantino than we have Salvador Perez, but he's kind of catching him now, Tommy. Like he's catching up to Salvi, and Salvi is starting to struggle again. Salvi had that heater. You know, I don't know, what was that, 2 weeks ago probably, where he really started to heat up, but he's tailed off again here, and Vinny has started to heat up. Vinny Pasquantino last night, 2 of 5, had an RBI. Salvi, 0 for 5. Do you move Salvi in the lineup?
No.
I don't.
No.
By the way, Mikel Garcia played shortstop last night. continuing on his path to play every position on the field this year, probably.
Yeah, I don't think with one game of Salvi going 0-for-5, we start talking about moving him out of the cleanup spot. That's a little rash, and I know that the last couple of games have been a little bit rough for him. By the way, he also, it looked like he kind of tweaked a hamstring at one point during the game, too, so we'll have to keep an eye on that and monitor what's going on with Salvi, and that's the risk that you run with having a guy that's 35 years old playing catcher. You know, he's going to be a little bit more prone to injuries at that age. But no, I'm not overly concerned about where he's at offensively, because the bottom line is that even though he struggled the last couple of games, I know we want to have this exercise of comparing and contrasting him and Vinny Pasquantino. Neither one of them have been outstanding. But at least for the last, I don't know, month or so, if one of them is down, the other one is up. We haven't had a situation where both of them have struggled at the same time since that really bad
losing streak,
stretch of baseball. That's what I was about to say. Like, that was the only time during the season that both of them have been down. We had Salvi go on a run where he seemed to be like, you know, basically hitting doubles every time he was up to bat. And Vinny was struggling, and now it's kind of flip-flopped, and Vinny's coming on, and his average is going up, and Salvi's kind of struggling a little bit. So I don't think that you need to be, rash and react and panic about Salvi. I don't think you mess with that and move that. He's pretty, I would say, outside of Bobby Witt Jr. at number two, the second most locked-in position in that lineup has got to be Salvi at four.
Yeah, and India leading off. I agree with that. I think everyone. So here's the other thing. And I think part of it has been those two collectively haven't been good together. And I do think that's a part of why they're not scoring a lot of runs, is because they haven't been together doing it, which at some point that timing will work itself out. That'll be a part of the internal solution. Here's what, as I watch them, my biggest issue with where Salvador Perez seems just a little bit off to me. He has two walks since April 18th. That's it. I think that's where for him, like, if he can just chill a little bit, I don't know if he's pressing. Maybe it's that a little bit, but he's not walking at all. And he's swinging at a lot of pitches out of the zone, which has always been a part of his thing. I get, like, he does swing at a lot of pitches, but man, he's just, like, he's not letting anything come to him. And I think as much of that. But as far as, like, his impact, I agree. I think he is, with Bobby Witt Jr. and Jonathan India, the most locked in the lineup. And I do think a part of the reason the Royals haven't totally clicked is because he and Vinny together haven't clicked together. Like, when those two were together last year, man, it just felt like if anything happened at the top of the lineup and those two were going to both come up, they felt like there was no chance they weren't scoring a run. That's how, like, when they were together collectively doing that last year, I do think that's a part of the internal improvement that will come, is as those two can sort of synergize when they're going at the same time. I think that'll help. They scored 7 runs yesterday. And a lot of the production was right there at the top of the lineup, and it sort of carried over the bottom. Kyle Isbell, by the way, you can't not play him lately.
He looked really good.
He has looked really good for a while.
And
he's,
I feel like
he's really playing well.
Between him and Drew Waters, and I know Waters had a little hiccup in the field at one point that, you know, wasn't good. But between those two guys at the bottom of the lineup and in the outfield, I think you've got to continue to roll with Isbell and Waters, you know, as best as you can, as often as you can in that outfield, for sure.
And Massey had his home run. So as there are open, the only real, like, opening is probably going to be left field, because you're going to have India, Garcia, even if you think it's Massey, who's, you know, still just hitting 213, but he's getting much better than he was. Like, even if you think it's that, you got to be able to play India, you got to be able to play Garcia. So it's probably like an opening right now, or it all comes internal, which has always been the best case scenario. So the Royals, we'll get more into what they're doing tonight against the Astros as we come back for another hour. But don't go away. We got more Sports Daily, another hour. Felix Johnson joins us next hour. More giveaways. Stick around. We're coming right back.
from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is another hour of Sports Daily. We'll have Felix Johnson, our Chiefs insider, coming up in just a little bit to help us navigate some of the schedule drops, impact to the Chiefs, what he's taken away from it, how things have looked at rookie camp, all of that stuff. So stay tuned there. Tommy, a look around the sports universe yesterday. Boy, I got to tell you, the NBA playoffs, if Jason Tatum has the feared Achilles, That sucks. We already lost Dame. Lillard already had this happen. That's such a crap injury because it knocks the dude out for the next season too. Like Jason Tatum, one of the best players in the league. That's been such an interesting and compelling series and all of these things happening. The Knicks go up 3-1. Man, if Tatum's out and then he's out next year, what a bummer. That would just absolutely deflate. Like that sucks.
Well, and keep in mind how great he was in that game before he went down with the injury. I mean, he scored 42 points in the game. And, of course, ultimately the Knicks win the game and go up 3-1 in the series. And at that point, you know, assuming that Tatum is pretty seriously hurt and out at this point, I can't imagine there's any way that the Celtics can come back down 3-1.
No, I don't think so. And that kind of sucks for the Knicks, too, because you want to see the Knicks get them if they're fully healthy. Now there's like some excuse, a little bit anyway. We have the Steph Curry injury in the other series as the T-Wolves go up 3-1. Like, injuries have sort of become a story of this NBA postseason. Damian Lillard went down, and now it may blow up the entire Bucks franchise because all the talk is about, you know, moving Giannis or whatever, whether he needs to go. Like, all of this stuff has been brought on by these dang injuries, so... That was a bit of a bummer, kind of deflated the NBA, I thought, last night. And then the other big story yesterday is Luka. I mean, sorry, not Luka, but, you know, kind of Luka. The Mavericks get the lottery. What in the world? Like, this, sometimes the lottery seems too manufactured, right? You remember the Tim Duncan? Sometimes you're like, there is no way. And the Mavericks, I don't think, have ever won it, have they?
They have not. It's like the fourth, I think they had the fourth lowest odds ever to get the number one pick. I think I saw that
1.8%. I mean, that is, I think that the draft lottery is compelling. I'm not a conspiracy theorist for sports, but come on now. Like, that seems crazy. By the way, not being talked about at all are that the Spurs are second. They're going to be able to get a really good piece to put with Wimby. And just there, I'm telling you, the Spurs are building a championship, another little dynasty here, because they won't miss on that pick. They never do. It doesn't seem like the 76ers are third. The 76ers have some talent on the roster always. Like if you're the Hornets and you're down there at four, and you're like, seriously, or the Wizards at six, like, you're like, come on, like, what do we have to do to get a Cooper flag? Like, these guys come around and it's like those franchises never have a shot at getting one of those guys. That's what it feels like. So I say I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and normally I'd be ecstatic that the Mavericks get the number one pick, but I don't think they deserve it because of what they did with Luka. It's pretty interesting.
I mean, is there anybody else in the draft class? And I know like nobody measures up to Cooper Flagg, but is there anybody else in the draft class that these teams can get excited about? I mean, I know that there's the big man from Baylor that was a freshman last year. Edgecombe is somebody that, you know, and he's not the big man, he's a shooting guard, but he was a great freshman last year for Baylor. He's out there that could be a top five pick. You know, the big guy from Duke, obviously, that played alongside Cooper Flagg. I don't know. Like, I don't know if there's anybody else really in that draft class you feel really excited about.
Knepple's in there, but he's, I think, more toward the back end of the lottery of guys that we'd recognize anyway. The Rutgers dudes, I think, are the most, the highest, the two Rutgers players.
The Maryland kid, the center from Derek Queen from Maryland is in there. He's pretty good.
You remember Derek Queen? Yeah. I think he's supposed to be a lottery pick. I mean, it's not earth-shattering, but the reality is – we're going to know less about it. It's hard in the NBA because guys just don't spend a lot of time for us to see them play. Obviously, Cooper Flagg does. But yeah, there's going to be good players in this draft. There's always good players in a draft. There are always players that are going to be impactful in a draft. And so the better chance, you know, teams like San Antonio, who do such a good job, and so do the Mavericks, by the way, of evaluating players, you just give them a better chance to get it right now when you put them up at the top. Obviously, Dallas is a no-brainer. They're going to do the obvious thing. But like San Antonio picking two, like they're going to find the next best player probably because they're San Antonio and that's what they do. And I'm not sure there's ever been a draft lottery more fortunate team than San Antonio for whatever reason. But yeah, they're going to pair somebody with Wimby.
I mean, going back to Dallas for a second, I mean, you've got Cooper Flagg coming in. And then that, I agree with you. I mean, that's a no brainer that Dallas does that. If Nico Harrison doesn't take Cooper Flagg, we were shocked when he traded Luka. That would be the ultimate troll job right there. But anyway, assuming Cooper Flagg goes there, he more than likely will. If you can get Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving healthy, and I know Irving's coming back from an ACL and I'm not sure what his timetable is to return. Do those three guys have a nucleus there in Dallas that can make them relevant again, those three guys combined?
Yeah. Yeah, sure they can. Anthony Davis is one of the best players in the world. He's just never healthy. Yeah. I don't know that I think they could win a title right away, but yeah, sure. Is it the same as potentially in walking away from Jalen Brunson and Luka Doncic? No. But, you know, like, down the road, they sure can. And you can rebuild your franchise around a guy like Cooper Flagg if you get it right. So it doesn't feel like Harrison and that ownership group is going to be punished enough for the Luka trade because they now get Flagg.
How do you feel
that's
about
what it feels like to me?
How do you feel about this? Max just told me this. They're talking on ESPN right now about Dallas trading the number one pick to bring in Giannis to the Mavs.
Giannis, I would say I'd probably be okay with it, but like that's what I was joking about yesterday. Like,
would you rather have really Cooper Flagg at number one?
They'll either say we're building through defense and we're going to take Derek Queen.
Would you rather have Cooper Flagg at number one or would you rather have Giannis on your team?
Oh, Giannis is what, 28? No, he's 30. Oof, man. That's a really
isn't that tough?
Good question.
I want to know when 30's old.
I mean, well, in the NBA
I
world,
recently
it kind of is
40, and it feels pretty old. Yeah.
Unless you're LeBron, 30 is old.
But 30 could mean you still have 6, 7, 8 good years,
right,
in the NBA.
And then you also have to keep in mind,
or if you're built like Giannis, it could be like LeBron, yeah, and you could have 12 more.
And you also have to keep in mind the pieces around, you know, Giannis and Cooper Flagg too. Like, you know, would you rather pair up Giannis with a healthy Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis?
In the short term, Giannis, Kyrie, Anthony Davis is more likely to win a title. Giannis is, I mean, maybe the best player. He has a stake on that claim. I don't know the answer. I don't know how I would answer that. I don't know. That's a really good one. I don't know if I would rather have a 30-year-old Giannis or Cooper Flagg now. Because of the ineptitude of the current administration, Giannis is going to give them a better chance to win in the short term. There's no question about that. What are the chances Dallas can show Cooper Flagg that he should be a Maverick forever? You know, like now, if it was Mark Cuban still, I would say it's Cooper Flagg for sure. No doubt about it, because that guy knows how to, you know, he knows how to take advantage of all of that. Giving an inept front office the best chance to win is probably Giannis. I mean, I'm high on Cooper Flagg. I've said this before. I don't know that I've ever seen a college player as polished as he looked last year. But to say that he's going to be better than Giannis is a bold statement. As good as you might think he could be, and he absolutely could be, to proclaim it as an absolute fact is probably crazy, because Giannis is one of the best players we've ever seen. I don't know how I'd answer.
I think it's got to be Cooper Flagg, and I love Giannis, and I think he is phenomenal. Obviously, he's a champion with the Bucks and one of the best players, if not the best player in the NBA. But I think it's got to be Cooper Flagg, because if you end up trading that number one overall pick after getting it with 1.8% odds to get it, and you got it, and you've got Cooper Flagg sitting there ready and waiting to go to Dallas and be the franchise cornerstone of your team long term, but then you trade that away to bring in Giannis, then why did you even move Luka Doncic out of town at that point? Like, and I know you're kind of, it's hard to compare and contrast Luka and Giannis because their games are, they couldn't be any more different between the two of them. But why not just stand pat before and not trade Luka then? Like, if you're going
to
get the number one pick,
and then you're just going to
trade that number one pick to bring in Giannis, just stay with Luka.
That's the problem. Again, if this was Mark Cuban in charge, Don Nelson in charge, I'd say Flag is the choice. But knowing who it is now, I'm not sure. That's a really good one. I'm gonna think about that a lot today now. That'll be what I spend my time with. That's a good question. Felix Johnson joins us next. We'll talk a little Chiefs. We'll talk this schedule release when we return. Don't go away. More Sports Daily coming up.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
I went early again. Dramatic pause.
You had a nickel for every time that happened to you. You'd be a rich man.
Yeah. That's
Juwan Taylor over there.
We're gonna leave this as a PG-rated show, and I'll leave that statement alone. We welcome in Felix Johnson, our Chiefs insider. We get NFL schedule nuggets dropped. Felix, let's talk about those first. We were you know, just sort of musing. I think we know about four of them: Eagles, Cowboys on the opener, and then Chiefs, Chargers on the Friday following are the two headliners. What do you think of the opener? You know, there were other choices. There were Commanders. We mentioned the Lions, Bears, Rams, probably as other good options. I think Dallas was probably the right pick, but they had some choices. Were you good with that one?
Yeah, I mean, it's Dallas. You're always going to they have a massive fan base, and it's really easy to pull, especially when a team within their own division has already won the Super Bowl. Easy to have the Super Bowl champs and probably the most popular team in the NFL on the first night of the opening season. Just makes the most sense in the world. And then the following night to have one of your bigger media markets in LA, I know it's the Chargers, but then the Chiefs, the team that lost the Super Bowl, 1-2 out of the last three. So it's just about getting your biggest markets on TV as soon as possible.
We were talking about this in the previous hour, Felix. I think Jacob and I both feel like, to some extent at least, that there was some strategy involved in the mindset of the Chargers and having the Chiefs play them in Brazil as opposed to playing them in LA. For me, my thought process is the Chargers may not think there's much of any kind of home field advantage at SoFi Stadium. And so you know, it might be strategic for the Chiefs to have to go international to play them as opposed to going cross country when you're going to have a lot of Chiefs fans showing up there in the red and yellow. Do you think there's any legitimacy to that, or was it more about, hey, we just want to have the best markets available play in Brazil?
I think all answers are applicable. I mean, it could work out to the point where you're saying that the Chargers, because it's a shorter flight from Kansas City to LA as opposed to Kansas City to Sao Paulo. Like, I mean, just off of the logistical standpoint of that. So I think that I think that it just makes sense from that standpoint. But also, the Chiefs are incredibly popular overseas, so they could have a decent showing in Sao Paulo. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be like it would be at Arrowhead or at SoFi, but at the same time, it could be a decent little smattering of Chiefs fans, and that might be more Chargers fans, or excuse me, more than the Chargers fans in attendance. So it could be one of those things where Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers brass were like, let's do something evil and conniving or whatever. But at the end of the day, the game's going to get played between the yard lines. So,
well, they could have blocked it. I mean, they had the choice. Yeah. They didn't do it. They wanted it over there. They were fine with it. All right. So I didn't see this until just now. The NFL put out the international games, except they haven't officially announced the Chiefs. They put them all out, all the others out there, games all over the world. The most interesting thing to me on this is that the Vikings get the back-to-back thing overseas. So they'll spend a couple of weeks in Europe. They play in Dublin on a Sunday, the 28th, against the Steelers, and then they flip around and they'll play the next Sunday in London against the Browns. So the Vikings, they don't give up home games here. They get to spend, because this is going to start happening with how many of these there are. If I'm the Vikings, I don't hate it. I don't hate this, because you for sure have an advantage over the Browns in the second game, as you've already been over there, right? Like, that's an advantage. Now, maybe you don't care because it's the Browns this year. But yeah. I think for the team that has to do that, like that second leg of it, you get an advantage over the opposition not having to make the travel that week.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, especially going overseas, and it's been obviously the NFL is going to keep growing overseas, going from one game to two games. And now eight, and by next year, we're going to have an entire half of the season over there, whatever the case might be. So I think you're all these different little advantages, like we're talking about, did the Chargers want the game in Sao Paulo because of this, that, and the third? It's the same reason why the Vikings are like, you know, we're going to have an advantage. We have a young quarterback. See if we can gain some momentum. And again, these are all things that work into their favor. If it doesn't work out, then there's reasons why. Like, if you look at the Lions away schedule, it looks ridiculous. They got to go to Baltimore, go to Cincinnati, come to Kansas City. There's a lot of different things that Detroit has to deal with. That's not going to work into their favor, because they're losing their coordinators. So it's the NFL. There's 15 different reasons why everything works out. But being that we're looking at locations and the NFL is moving more and more, these things do factor in more and more because of things like the Browns going to go play the Vikings on the second half of back-to-back overseas.
Sounds like Chiefs and Broncos on Christmas Day. And the Chiefs are, you know, at least in the last couple of years, really tried to own Christmas Day, not unlike the way the Cowboys and the Lions have Thanksgiving. Are you a fan of that? Do you think that that's something that is good for the Chiefs, and, you know, just kind of wanting to have them be synonymous with Christmas Day?
As long as they don't lose to the Raiders, like, everything's fine. As long as they don't ever do
can
that
ruin
again.
Your holiday and pretty quick.
Exactly. Like, Patrick Mahomes throws two pick sixes in a matter of like 7 minutes. It's like, everything's fine as long as it's specifically the Raiders. You can lose to just about anybody else outside of the division on Christmas Day, and I'll be fine. Actually, probably not. But I think it is interesting. I mean, it's that's why Michael Jordan, I think it's kind of interesting. He's returning to NBC because he's a special contributor. Like, these athletes get attached to events and days and whatever the case might be. Like you're saying, the Cowboys and Lions are attached to Thanksgiving. Michael Jordan's attached to NBC. Maybe the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid can be attached to Christmas Day in 5-10 years or whatever the case may be when we're looking back on this era, and they've won 3 Super Bowls, and maybe they'll go on to keep winning some more. And so I think you're absolutely right. They can attach themselves to an event, and if it can be Christmas, might as well steal some attention from the baby, I guess.
Yeah, it all makes sense. The NFL's doing this. I think there was a time where they were a little risky in expanding out of what has built them, which is owning Sunday and then Monday Night Football. anymore, though, it's the product. I mean, we're getting excited about a schedule release.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost embarrassing, but it's true. Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, wear it on our sleeves.
Previously, the draft was like the only thing that NFL fans had to look for in the offseason, and NBA fans had their, and obviously we're fans of everything, but like NBA fans, they had their investment in free agency and trades that would happen in the offseason. And then the NFL got a hold of that. Quarterbacks started moving in the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, I guess you could date it all the way back to Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, but we've seen over the last handful of years, the NFL is going to stay relevant because that's how you stay a business. I mean, Roger Goodell took a page out of Jerry Jones's business, or took a page out of his book. Just stay relevant, stay available, stay doing something, because people are going to pay attention no matter what.
Going back to the very first game of the NFL calendar, that opening night game, Cowboys and Eagles, how do you feel? And we talked about this in the last hour too. How do you feel about the NFL scheduling a divisional matchup? I understand the rivalry. I understand you've got, you know, the defending Super Bowl champions at home to kick off the season. That's kind of tradition. But the fact that you've got a game in week one against divisional opponents, when that early in the season, obviously it's the very first game, there are no playoff implications, at least at that point for that game. Are you on board with that? Or do you feel like the NFL should have had a different opponent for the Eagles in that very first game?
I believe it was shortly after John Madden passed away, but Eric Shanks, the president of Fox Sports, had said something about when he was talking to him about programming games and scheduling games, and John Madden, obviously the legend that he is, he said, if it sounds like a big game, it probably is. Cowboys-Eagles, does it sound like a big game? Even going into this year, I know Brian Schottenheimer, feel how you want to feel about Dak Prescott. The Eagles won the Super Bowl. Like, it is a big game. And going into just about every year, Cowboys-Eagles is a marquee game at any point in the year, whether because the Eagles are typically good, the Cowboys are typically noisy, to say the very least. If it sounds like a big game, it probably is. The night after, Chiefs-Chargers, legendary rivalry, sounds like a big game. It is a big game because we're seeing the Chiefs debuting, the Chargers coming back. So because it sounds like a big game, it kind of feels like a big game. You can kind of talk yourself into that. Browns-Vikings, the second leg of an international game, doesn't sound like a big game. It's not a big game. So it's kind of one of those easy rules. If it feels like it, it probably is. So it is a big game because it's Cowboys-Eagles.
By the way, here's a quick stat that I just saw.
Okay.
Did you know that in the history of the NFL kickoff game that has the defending champion as part of it, the league has done a divisional matchup only 3 times? And in every single one of those matchups, it was an NFC East matchup. Every single time.
That's the division. That's the NFC East. I mean, outside of markets like ours, what division gets talked about the most? Because it's the Cowboys, it's the Eagles, it's Washington, it's New York. They're massive markets. The Cowboys aren't even in the East.
I wonder how many times that's been the Cowboys. Is it an East thing or is it a Cowboys thing? I don't know.
I think it would be a Cowboys thing. It makes more sense to be a Cowboys thing. But who knows?
I did see as it was front office sports that had the news yesterday. I think that the Chiefs have become the biggest television draw now. I think they've even overtaken the Cowboys, which is wild to think about.
There's a bit of that Floyd Mayweather aspect of it all. Like, people want to watch them lose. Like, they're tired.
Absolutely.
Of
there's always all been of it. That.
And there's been that since they started winning Super Bowls, but there's like that with every dynasty. But particularly now, that's why Floyd Mayweather kept drawing on pay-per-views for years on years and had pretty boring fights, because people wanted to see somebody knock him out. Nobody ever did.
It's there's no question. It's, you've got a Lakers jersey behind you. That's why the Lakers draw better.
That's Yankee, last name loyalty.
You know, people want to see those teams lose. There's always, and it makes sports better. There's no question. Mm-hmm. Here's a fun one for you, Felix. What would you rather in mid May be talking about? Derek Carr and how his, you know, how much bad luck he perhaps had in the placement, where, how would he fare if he switched spots with Matt Stafford or Eli Manning over the years, or Bill Belichick's girlfriend and the drama surrounding that,
you know,
or Travis Kelce's hair.
You know, I'm 23 years old. I'm used to 20-something-year-old women getting kicked out of places. So that's kind of boring for me to talk about, especially in mid-May. The interesting part about the Bill Belichick thing is that it seems like if you've done anything, if we will all watch the Patriots dynasty, everything was about, we keep it inside, it's controlled, nothing affects it other than the men in this room or the players or whatever you want to attach to it. And then Bill Belichick, of all people, gets caught up with an Instagram model of all, like, that's one of the most insane things. Like, it was not going to check it off of my bingo card at any point, at any year. So it's honestly insane, but I don't even know what to say about Bill Belichick. He's more like the Cowboys than he ever was like the Patriots at this point, at this day and age. And that's what's so mind-boggling. We're seeing character development in his early 70s, and it's not good character development.
I think he's an old guy that knows exactly what's happening around him, and he doesn't care.
That's the thing. He doesn't care. Everybody else should. He doesn't have to for what you're saying.
He's an old guy that got some arm candy. That's like he knows. He knows what's happening. Like, don't you think he knows?
Yes, but it that's the problem. It's creating the maelstrom around all of
he famously, remember, the entire time he was with New England, he famously preached like no distractions, only football, cut everything else out, nothing else matters. And like, he's going against his own philosophy in that regard.
Like, Bill Belichick's biggest product in his entire career is Tom Brady. What is Tom Brady most famously known for? Divorcing his wife and leaving his family because, you know what, we can play one more season. And his wife was a supermodel. And that's what's insane about Bill Belichick doing this. Like, this isn't even Giselle. This is just some chick that's famous because of you. Like,
just trying to find common ground with the young people, right? So we needed a young person to tell him what sussy baka means, you know?
I have no idea what that means. I've never heard that word before.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's you guys are going to have to go down a rung.
Can you say that again? What word was that?
Get you a 10-year-old girl and you'll learn all the new stuff.
No, please say that again because I want to know what that is.
Sussy. It's sus. You know, you've heard it's sus, right? Sussy baka. It's...
What is baka?
I can't quite define it.
Are we sure that that's actually appropriate to say on the air?
It is. No, it is. It's 100%. And there's like what the sigma or beta or one of the Greek letters. I'm telling you.
Those are old. Those are from my time. I'm getting up there. Yeah, those are old.
The sigma?
Beta males.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's just
like I'm just getting on. Like, I'm just catching up to like cap, you know? And so I'm three generations back, probably.
Yeah.
On what the lingo is.
Are you going to explain what sussy baka is? Because I still don't know.
Yeah, it's like a higher version of sus, I think. I used to have Braxton Jones. Shout out Braxton. He would keep me apprised of what things mean.
Okay, so I looked it up. It's a combination of, you know, suspicious. And baka means stupid or silly. So you're, I guess, suspicious and dumb. Stupid. I don't know. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. That's my son yelled it at a neighbor kid last night. He said, "Oh, you're sussy baka," and I'm like, "Oh, I hope that's not a cuss word." We're screaming it at the top of our lungs.
You hoped it was, because that would have made you super proud of your kid.
my kids will. They'll probably at some point in life have sailor's mouths, but let's hope it's not when they're in grade school. But you didn't answer the first part of the question. What if Derek Carr, Felix, Tom is going to make Tommy so mad. What if you switch Derek Carr and Eli Manning? Do you think Derek Carr could have had the kind of success Eli Manning had? Because his numbers are significantly better. Eli Manning's got a career passer rating of like 88. Like he would be a below average quarterback in the NFL today.
So would Joe Namath, and he made it to the Hall of Fame. So
Namath played like 65 years ago. Eli played like 12. Years ago.
Exactly. And in the hyper evolution that we've seen the game move in these last couple of years, and I'm one of these people that's like, if you can't tell the story of football without this guy, and particularly Eli Manning's case, because of beating the undefeated Patriots and then doing it again a couple years later, I'm one of those guys. It's kind of a flawed issue, but I'm just one of these more drama based football fans. Now the Derek Carr thing, I was always the weirdest part about Derek Carr's entire career, the biggest missed opportunity, is that the Raiders traded away Khalil Mack, got a bunch of picks back, and lost the trade. Like, that's insane that they didn't get a starter back. Like, they drafted Cleveland Farrell. Brian Edwards was like their only starter at, from that trade at all. And Derek Carr was blamed for the Raiders being the Raiders post 2002. And that's what's really frustrating, is that Derek Carr was a decent quarterback. And I think him going to the Saints, I thought it had some potential because the Saints were the Saints. They had X amount on their offense, and then their defense had been together. Cameron Jordan, all those guys had been figuring it out. But then everything got old too fast because it's the NFL. But I've always thought Derek Carr was a fine quarterback.
Yeah,
now, is he Eli Manning? No, because Eli Manning is won two Super Bowls, and he broke through and became one of those guys. And then the same thing can be said about Matthew Stafford. He won a Super Bowl. Usually these guys prove themselves and win a Super Bowl, or at least get close, because the quarterback position is the only one that can truly carry anybody.
But I do love that point about, can you tell the story of football with or without that guy? You can absolutely tell the story of the NFL without Derek Carr. Yes. 100%.
Yeah. That was my point, was more about Carr got bad luck at the draw and where he landed. Okay. That was fun with Felix Johnson. If you missed any of it, you can go back and catch it on the Odyssey app, by the way. Let's talk a little Royals tonight, Tommy. We got into it. Great outcome last night. Michael Wacha was very good. The offense definitely carried the load, which is great. The bullpen on the back end stepped in and finished things when, for the first time, a young guy, Cruz, struggled. They were able to sort of settle in and lock it in. No big deal. Now they continue this Astros series. They continue this stretch of schedule, which is going to be more difficult than the one that helped them go,
16 and 4 in their last 20.
So they'll enter this more difficult schedule, and we need to see some of that. They get Framber Valdez tonight, who's always good, maybe not quite as good this year, but always good, with Bubic on the mound. And if they can win it, then you're going to look at it and like, man, maybe they could sweep a road series. So that's a good one to get, that first one. For sure. It sets them up nicely for the series. Now they got to, they got to keep it rolling here and prove that they can do this kind of thing against these better teams. I think that's sort of the next step of this season. Schedule's turning again. The Boston series did not go well. Now let's, if you're the Royals, now let's show fans that we can beat these good teams too.
Yeah, I felt like Michael Wacha had a really good outing last night. 6 1/3. He got into a little bit of trouble in the seventh. Before Quatrero went to John Schreiber in the bullpen. But other than that, it was a pretty solid outing for Wacha, and it helps when you're spotted 7 runs early in the game. And again, we've talked about that so many times. That's the recipe for success for Kansas City. And we haven't seen them do it to that extent where they've spotted their starter 7 runs early in the game. Typically it's 1 or 2, and that's been enough for the Royals pitchers to, let it roll. You would have loved to see a little bit of a better margin ultimately at the end of the game than 7-5 after you had a 7-0 lead. But again, that goes back to a young guy in Steven Cruz who kind of struggled there coming in relief. And so I think that's something that he'll continue to work his way through and, grow up a little bit and take his lumps in the majors and hopefully not have outings like that in the future. But I do think that it's important for the Royals to try to maintain what they started in this series last night as it continues today and tomorrow in this short 3-game set on the road before they return back home to Kansas City. I do think one other thing to point out is that the Royals had 2 errors in the game yesterday. Drew Waters had kind of an inexplicable one in the outfield. They had 2 errors, and it ultimately ended up being okay because they had a large enough margin that they had some room to work with on that. It didn't kill them. But when this team is not hitting, and we talked about this yesterday, you've got to be sharp in every other aspect of your game. And so if you can't count on your offense game in and game out, like I don't go into this game tonight thinking, yeah, they're going to score another 7 runs. That has not been the offense this year. They've not been able to consistently put runs up on the board game in and game out. If that's not the case, if they don't have the kind of offensive output tonight like they had last night, then you also can't have 2 errors in the game tonight either.
I think it's a great point. I think it's one of the reasons why I keep like the offense stays front of mind, because they haven't, like the offense has to have, like every once in a while you need games like last night. Ooh, bullpen guy that you've been able to count on all year stumbled. Oh, crap. Outfielder made a bad play. Like, you have to be able to bail those guys out too. It can't, like, it's you're playing with fire too much in a Major League Baseball season to every single night. Like, there can't be only one path to a victory for the Royals, which is to get out to a small early lead and have a perfect performance from the bullpen and the defense every night. They'll win games that way. They'll win probably more games that way than any other way based on what we've seen. But that's too, like, you have to be able to build in some cushion. And that's what the offense will do. And I still think that's what the offense can do internally. Is the offense going to ultimately be what it is now later as far as personnel? I highly doubt it. But they can be much better than they have been. I was talking with Brandon Zinner yesterday. He had some good ones for me because we talk about this all the time. And he was like, man, I looked last night, and going into last night's game, they had scored zero or one run only in like 25% of their games this year. They had done that more often than they'd scored more than four. So more often than they've had what you'd call a good offensive night, they'd scored zero or one run. Like, that's where it just, like, you can't be that razor thin. Like, just get the offense up to league average, and this team's going to win a ton of games this year. And league average is in the cards for this offense. Like, it is. Like, they, like, you just look at the players in the lineup, and you look at it, and you're like, well, yeah, that's going to be a league average offense. They just haven't played that way. So as we watch these series, how about two games in a row, Tommy, where they score runs? When was the last time? Let me pull it up. When was the last time they had two straight games where they scored more than four runs? Have they done that yet this year? I'm pulling it up.
I don't know if they have.
Okay.
I'd have to go back and look.
No.
Yeah, no, I don't
I'm looking
think
at every
so.
Time they scored more than four runs. No.
They did they in win. the Orioles series. They scored four, and then they scored 11.
Okay.
They did do that.
They had one in the Rockies. They scored seven and then six. Four and then 11. So that's twice. So, only twice this year have they been able to do it two times in a row. So there you go. There's something to, you know, to strive for tonight. Can you do it how about do it three times in a row? Do it in every game in a series. That'd be great, right? And now if they can get to Framber, they're going to have a chance, because I think in the third game, they're scheduled to go up against a dude who's never, you know, pitched in the big leagues. Look. It's all there. They're fine. Everything's great. I think when we look back at this in 2 months, hopefully all this is a fart in the wind, as the late great Roger Cornish used to say. And we're not even worried about it because the offense is doing what it's supposed to do. If let's say, Tommy, the offense figures it out, the pitching keeps going. Do you think that's going to be enough to catch the Tigers by the time, you know, if that clicks all together, which we both think it will at some point? Will it be enough to catch the Tigers?
Yeah.
Tigers, man.
Yeah, I think
they're flipping good.
Yeah, I think it'll be a two-horse race. I mean, I think that Cleveland will be in the mix for sure, but I think they'll fade a little bit. I think they'll come back down to earth, and they already have. I mean, they're not nearly as hot right now as both Detroit and Kansas City has been. And so I think, you know, if we can continue to see the Royals click on these different cylinders, unlike what we saw last night, for sure, then yeah, I mean, I certainly think that they can catch the Tigers.
Cleveland's won 6 of 10, and that is, you're right, that's not as hot. That's what's crazy about this division right now. They've won 6 of 10, and yeah, they're losing a little bit of ground. I think the big difference for Cleveland, because I agree with you, is Cleveland's not going to do anything at the deadline. I don't think. They never do. And I think both Detroit and Kansas City are absolutely going to be ready to pounce at the deadline to make themselves better. They're two franchises that have struggled for long enough. And I know they both made the playoffs last year, but they're both in a position to make very aggressive moves this year. And Detroit has been a high payroll team in baseball lots of times. They've just been rebuilding. They have no issue, I don't think, going down that road when the time comes. And I think the time is now. I watched some of that because it was the first game on yesterday, and I kind of had it on in the background as I was getting ready for to go out on set. They've snuck around and really put together an impressive lineup. We know their young pitching is good, but their offense is legit and it's for real. Like, they, you know, they've got a bunch of bats in that lineup that are young. Like, this is not some flash in the pan for them. They have built this thing, and they're going to be good for a long time. The beat up on the Tigers days are well behind us.
And I know that you are a known and vocal Astros hater, and I totally understand why. AJ Hinch, of course, was run out of town, the scandals and all of that. He's had a revitalization in Detroit. And say what you will about AJ Hinch, and I totally get it, and I totally understand all the scandals. One thing that the guy does is win. He is a winning manager, right? And so that was a really, really, really smart move, I think, for Detroit to go and get Hinch and bring him on. Scandal be damned, because he wins. And that's what he's done. He's turned this organization around.
Not just that, he has experience doing it with a young roster, right? Like, he helped build that Astros dynasty that I think and I hope we're seeing the end of now. He helped build that. Like, he was the, you know, he was the guy. And so it's very similar to what I think the Tigers are doing right now. Like, they've got all these great young players all kind of coming together at one time. It's like Terry Francona, right? Like, if you've got a bunch of good young players, you'd be well served to have Terry Francona be your manager. And he's doing a good job in Cincinnati. My bold prediction of the preseason is that they'd make the playoffs, and they're a couple games under 500. National League's going to be tough.
Yeah,
that's what makes that so bold.
They're a couple games under 500. I think they would be 10 games under 500 if Francona was not there.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I mean, he that's what he does. And, you know, but I don't know if I'll be able to get that prediction to come true, because it's going to take a bunch of wins to get a wild card in the National League. But that's the reason. Same concept as AJ Hinch being in Detroit. Same concept. By the way, your Braves, I know you wrote them off and gave them the Tommy Caster no chance, you know, after a week or so. They're a game under 500. You giving them any chance?
No, I'm not. No, because, I mean, the two teams in front of them, the Mets are playing phenomenal baseball right now, and the Phillies are the Phillies. The Phillies are, I watched the Phillies on Sunday Night Baseball the other night against the Guardians, and Kyle Schwarber, I mean, God, like, I don't know if there's been a better free agent signing. And I know it's been a couple of years since he joined Philly, but that was a huge impactful signing for the Philly. Schwarber is phenomenal, of course, Bryce Harper, all of that. So, and then Juan Soto plays for the Mets. I don't feel like the Braves have the firepower. I know Ronald Acuna is going to be starting a rehab assignment soon to work his way back. All of that. I mean, they're not out of it. They might be a wild card team.
It's going to be hard.
But, I mean, keep in mind, the Braves have won, like, what is it, like seven like National League East titles in a row?
They ain't like winning the division.
They're not going to win the division. That's not going to happen.
Wild card spot.
Yeah.
But you look like to get that. So one of the Mets in Philadelphia are going to be there, right? And then at least one of the, you know, Dodgers, Padres, Giants, Diamondbacks like that. Now the Braves are talent wise. They're right there with a lot of those teams. They're only a handful. I mean, in reality,
they've got some bullpen issues that they got to figure out. Their closer, Raisel Iglesias, has really struggled lately, and he blew another save last night, and they won it on a walk off. But, you know, there've been issues there for sure. They don't have a ton of depth in their starting pitching. The bottom of their lineup is rough. I'm not totally like they could sneak in and get a wild card spot. And they have battled back. I mean, they started the year 0-7, by the way. So the fact that they're now one game under 500, yeah, they played better as of late. But I'm not giving them much of a fighter's chance in the National League.
20-14 since that start. All right, that'll do it for Sports Daily. Well, that felt like a show in the fall. It was fun getting the NFL schedule nuggets. We'll get more of those today. Those will drop throughout the day, so we'll be back tomorrow to talk about it. Royals, of course, we just were mentioning in Game 2 against the Astros. All kinds of fun stuff happening. We'll have Shreya Slada, our KU insider, as well in tomorrow.
So we'll have a lot going on.
It will be a Wednesday, and we'll be here for it. For Felix Johnson, for Max, for Tommy, I'm Jacob. We appreciate all of you. We'll be back tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. we're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.